Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Everybody, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Be sure to check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. And thanks for subscribing to our YouTube channel. Everything's doing great over there. We appreciate everybody's support for that. And today, I was going to just continue talking about what we were talking about, like, you know, stuff in trucking, pulling up the news, what's going on. But a big thing happened today, and everybody's talking about it. It's like leading the news everywhere. It was because Texas native, Uvalde native, Matthew McConaughey, exactly right, from the first movie, Dazed and Confused, which was filmed in Texas, which was set in near Austin, Texas, to be like, you know, he came in and he spoke, and it was like one of those heartfelt, sincere, emotional pleas to, I guess, politicians, I don't know, about gun control. And the scariest thing that I don't like about it one bit is that everybody loved it. All of the political leaders, all of the politicians and the newscasters, all those people, they all loved it. And that scares me. It does. It scares me an awful lot. So I was going to talk about a little bit about that, and hopefully we'll have some other people chime in, see who's all out there still getting in or settling down or whatever. Before we go any further, I just want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You can download it from the App Store. It's truckertools.com, or you can go, like I said, to the App Stores on your cell phones there and download the app and use it. You can track freight, book freight, and you can also do, like, you know, your route planning, fuel stops, truck stops, maintenance facilities, even parking. You can even choose parking spots on the app. It's one of those things where it's one of those necessarily like for truck stops, but it's for other parking lots out there. So we got that going on. But I just wanted to let everybody know about Trucker Tools, a big supporter of Redneck and Eyes. We really appreciate all their help. And they're looking forward to working with us in the future as we are preparing to have more stuff happen with Redneck and Eyes. As you know, we like to get to the truck shows, and we're looking at trying to get to more truck shows. Coming up at the end of June, if anybody out there doesn't know already, if you're in the Texas area or in Houston, Texas, for that matter, it's June 25th, 26th. It's Saturday and Sunday at the Reliant Stadium, you know, the football stadium where everybody's at, that they're going to have the Texas Truck Show there. And I'm going to be there. I've already got my stuff planned where I'll be there, and I'm going to be getting there like Saturday afternoon and then staying all day, all night Saturday and all day Sunday and Sunday night and all that. So it all depends on what's all going on and everything. But I know that the people from CDLLife.com are going to be there. There's always going to be other trucking companies that are going to be there. It's a big recruitment area for them. And it's like one big open area, because I think it just takes up the basically the floor of the Reliant Stadium, which is the football field. Right. And it's just going to be all that's one big room. So that'd be exciting to see how that goes. I've never been to one at all in Texas. And they say that it's a little different because you've got, you know, it's a different kind of driver out here. You got a lot of South Texas companies there trying to recruit South Texas equipment with the oil field and stuff like that. They try to cater to that. So we'll see how that goes. You know, of course, you got the refinery industry and the chemicals and all that stuff in the Houston area with the shipping and the containers and all that. So those different kind of aspects is what you'll see at the Texas Truck Show there in Houston, and that's on June 25th, June 26th, and I'll be there checking that out. I'll just, you know, there won't be much of Redneck and I's as far as like doing what we do, but you know, I'll be there, and we'll be actually shooting some video, sharing it online, so people that aren't able to make it, they'll be able to see it, you know, on our YouTube channel, and I'll be sharing pictures on Facebook as well. But we also plan on doing some stuff, you know. I mean, I plan on taking my laptop and everything, so maybe we can even do like a call-in show maybe on Saturday night and Sunday night. You never know. So we'll see how that goes. But we'll be passing that around and getting the word out on that. There's some other truck shows coming up here later on this year, and we're going to try to have some Redneck and Nice presence at those shows so that people can see the pictures and videos and stuff from those shows. So stay tuned for that, and we appreciate everybody's support on that stuff. But it's just kind of the stuff that, you know, you're out there working, and there's a lot of things going on in the industry that you really don't know about that often. So we try to keep you all apprised of that and everything. So we appreciate everybody doing that for us, and especially Trucker Tools for helping us make that happen. So look forward to doing that. But one of the things, like I said, the big news that happened, and I think it affects everybody. I think that as far as the trucking industry, you know, we are reflective of, like, you know, what's going on in the industry as far as going on in the country. You know, when things change in the country overall, we are affected. Anything more relatable is the gun control debate and the Second Amendment. Because I remember when I first entered into the industry, I was told by the trucking companies that I was going to work for, because, you know, I went through the whole process of, like, you know, I called one of the schools, and the school directed me toward a carrier that was hiring, and these carriers were all the big carriers and all that. And I never really got involved into the smaller carrier stuff until I got more into the industry. So when the bigger carriers, when you're sitting down in there and you're talking about, like, protecting yourself and being able to carry and all that stuff like that, the bigger carriers, it wasn't like a policy that they were telling people, but it was just the people in the offices that you were talking to directly. Most of them all had the, like, what is it called? You know, it was just understood by them that to tell us that it's not the carrier that doesn't want you to carry, it's the government. The government says you can't carry. And, of course, after doing more research, you find out that's not true. And it's the carriers. They don't want you carrying firearms. And you know what? I don't blame them. You know, I mean, but as it boils down to the United States, with all of these problems going on in the inner cities and everything, and we want, you know, and there are instances where it has happened. And there are instances, and of course it happens every day, where truck drivers are getting in and out of the big cities and they're doing just fine. But there's always that one. And a truck driver's philosophy has always been the kind of like a loner, independent person. And they're always saying, I'd rather have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. So a lot of drivers, you know, sometimes I think that more drivers carry than, you know, you could probably say that not that many drivers carry, because if you did like a survey, if you asked the question, do you carry? And most of them will say no. I don't think that's true. I think that they're going to tell you no, you know, but if you did like a cavity search, you know, or really strict search into their personal property that they bring with them, that they're doing something, you know, whether they're carrying some type of taser, pocket knife, or some type of larger knife, or they're bringing some kind of, like, you know, shooting device, like a taser that shoots, you know, those kind of things, you know, things like that, they're bringing with them. They're keeping with them because you never know what might happen. I mean, just maybe a couple of months ago, a driver was murdered on the side of the road because they stopped to help somebody, or they broke down and somebody stopped to help them. It was just one of those instances where that happens. It happens. And a lot of drivers' philosophy is I'd rather need it and not have it, or I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And I think that with all of the rules that are going to be talked about and all this stuff, you know, it's going to affect us. We already see how being able to carry in your vehicle or being able to carry in, you know, state to state, it affects drivers. We see that already, where different states have different laws and different requirements. And, of course, we would love to see it to where the federal government allows us to carry and the states can't say that we can't carry. We love to say that, you know, and maybe there needs to be a provision, you know, slipped into all these different gun laws that says if you have a CDL, then you don't have to abide by, you know, as long as you get, maybe even get a CDL license to carry. Maybe there needs to be a special federal license to carry for a CDL holder, you know, and then the state can't say that you can't carry, you know, that, you know, we can still allow facilities that you can't carry in here. That's fine. I'll keep it in my truck. Because if I keep my truck, it's always in my truck, you know. But I don't, I mean, be honest, once you're in a facility behind guards and gates and everything, you know, your chances are pretty okay that you're gonna be all right. It's when you leave the gates, that's where, you know, it's in between the stops, that's where it's concerned. But anyway, what happened today, it broke the news and it made a big deal. I mean, it popped on my phone before I knew it was on TV. So then I turned the TV on and caught it on TV, and it was Matthew McConaughey was at the White House press room there talking to the reporters. Now, he didn't take any questions from the reporters, which I wish he would have, but he didn't. And really, the press secretaries and all the people that work for the White House, they didn't take any questions either. And I think that if you were to ask any of them, they wouldn't say exactly what Matthew McConaughey said. Matthew McConaughey actually said that we needed to agree on the stuff we agree with, and we need to do that. That's one of the good things he said. He said we needed to do the things that we agree on instead of fighting over what we don't agree on. And politicians, they don't do that way. You know, they don't do that. They actually work on what they want to do the most. And that's why when you see Republicans trying to say, you know what, I agree with that, let's do that. Or I agree with this, let's do that. And there's a couple of little things that Republicans would agree on. And then next thing you know, it can't get passed because the far left, they want everything. They want all or nothing. And then when they don't get what they want, then they go stand in front of, you know, all the little monuments and all that. And they say that, you know, you want dead kids and all that stuff. So it's one of those things where I don't think anything's going to happen. And it's not because of any, you know, free thinking, common sense Republican. It's not going to be because of them. It's going to be because of the hard left. And a few things might be because of the hard right, maybe a libertarian right, to where, you know, and I kind of agree with them more or less that the government can't do anything anyway. It doesn't even matter what you pass. The government's not going to. I mean, we had red flag laws, those laws that allow people to initiate some type of restraining order from people to buy firearms in the state of New York. Where the kid up in Buffalo, you know, he was in New York, and there were all kinds of problems that he had, and they could have filed a restraining order to not allow him to buy firearms, but they didn't. Nobody did. You know, he was actually arrested and interviewed by police, investigated. They had detectives looking into his situation and asking him why he did things he did and all that, and they could have done that. They could have filed a deal to not allow him, but nobody did. So What's the good as the law is, you're not going to do anything, you know. So that's what happened, and so now you've got people now wanting federal red flag laws. Well, that just, you know, that's even crazier, because actually now, because of, I mean, if you're if there's any FFL dealers out there, will tell you that there's plenty of red flag laws for them, because they have to operate under the authority of the ATF, and sometimes the ATF just acts how they want to act, and ain't nothing you can do about it. They're the ATF. They kind of run things. And if you're a firearms dealer that has an FFL, you're answered to what they say. And it's a lot of things where, you know, it's probably more about not what you know, who you know, or, you know, just who's in a good mood that day, all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, that's the problem we have with our society, is we have the humans in charge of other humans, and that's not a good thing. So, but it scares me today when I saw the reaction. So I listened to what Matthew McConaughey had to say, and a lot of his stuff was emotional and everything. And then, of course, he bumped all the little details in there. He's, I guess, what we're probably going to see here, we're probably going to see the universal background check coming. That's what we're probably going to see. Because everybody, I mean, nobody's going to say no to that, especially after Matthew McConaughey, after he said, Matthew McConaughey came to the White House press room, and he said that everybody that he talked to in Uvalde, all the families that lost loved ones and everything, they all said, we want universal background. That's what he said that they said. And I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he said. Now, and I think that's what's going to happen. But that's what he said. He wanted background checks. He wanted the age, the federal, like I think what he's wanting to do is want to age all. Well, he said, I don't know if he said assault rifles, but I think he said rifles, which means that it's no longer 18 to buy a rifle. It's now going to be 21 across the board. You can't buy a firearm unless you're 21. And I've listened to a lot of Republicans out there say that that's great. Let's go ahead and identify what age is appropriate for being an adult. Let's go ahead and do that. So let's make it where you can't do anything unless you're 21. You can't join the military and all that. And they'll go in there and goes, well, when you go in the military, it's a purpose. It's an actual purpose that you go in there to learn how to do that. And you don't, you know, and all that. And I can see that a little bit, but again, you're still giving this person, I mean, you know, all these people go into it as learning. I mean, you know, all these crazy kids that we see, well, they were kids of the system. You know, they were products of the system, the schools that they went to, you know, the stuff that they did. I mean, it you could still get exposed to that being in the military, you know. I mean, one of the other deadliest shootings that we had here in the United States by a handgun from an actual psychiatrist down there in Fort Hood, Texas, you know, he was an officer in the Army, an older person, and he went in there and shot everybody. Of course, he was a terrorist. You know, he was an actual had an ideology that he was behind, you know, a religious extremist. But I mean, how do you define that? I mean, who knows what's in somebody's head? So I can see that. Let's raise the age, 21 for everything. Let's do that. You know, and let's say this. Let's say, I mean, I was just thinking about this, that we can have what they said was is that you can't buy a rifle under the age of 21 unless you're in the military. And I'm like, you know, that's silly, but because they still want people to go into the military. But okay, that's fine. Let's just leave it like that. You can go in the military at 18 if you want to buy a firearm under the age of 21, enlist in the military, and you can buy a firearm. Because it's already that you can own a handgun. You can buy a handgun. You still can't buy the ammunition, but you can buy a handgun. So let's make that a provision. That if you enlist in the military, if you are in the military, an active duty in the military, then you can buy a firearm. Okay? Let's raise ages for all that. Let's do driving. Driving 21. The only way that you can get a driver's license at the age of 16, and a lot of states have this, where you have to prove that you're going to school. That you have to get the school to give you a little piece of paper saying that you're going to school. And the minute that you either don't go to school or you're a truant, if you're considered to be any type of, like, anything you do that gets you in trouble where you can't go to school, you lose the privilege of driving until you're the age of 21. Unless, well, I graduated high school. I'm 18. I graduated high school. How do I prove, you know, now what do I do? Well, let's say this. You got to have a job. You got to prove that you're working. When you go down there, it's like maybe even every 6 months, you got to go down to the DPS office, the DMV, and you've got to prove that you have a job. The only way you're going to be able to drive is if you prove that you are employed. That's what you have to do. So whether it be some type of paperwork that gets signed by a, you know, or something that gets filed on the system where it's all done online. I mean, we do that now in the state of Texas. When you're in your car, you go to the place to get the car inspected. They don't even give you, I mean, they give you a receipt because you paid for it. But how do you do it online? It's already online. They go in the system. They update it. You plug in your license plate number. The computer says, yeah, you got an inspection because the guy went online and did his. There you go. You have your employer go online and fill out a deal on the website that he's registered, and he authorizes it. And then if you get into a car accident or you lose that job, they're supposed to report that you lost that job. And then your driving privileges get revoked. So it's really, you got to kiss the boss's ass to be able to keep driving until you're 21. You know, and this is all good stuff because you know what? People want to be stupid. Let's just say that all people are stupid. That's what I want to say. I want to say all, especially all young people are stupid. Okay. And they're going to do stupid things. Firearms. That's nothing. Let's go with cars, everything. Let's do everything. You know, hey, if you enlist in the military at the age of 18, then you're going to get a special deal on your license. Now you can go to the bar and you can have a beer because you're in the military. It's different, right? Isn't that right? No, it's not right, is it? Because guess what? People under 21 still do stupid things. So, you know, where's the argument end? Where's it end? I don't understand. But anyway, that's rant number one, first off. Like I said, he said a lot of different things, and it was crazy, but I thought it was just, I don't know, what do you call, it was amazing to me that like I said, it was a big deal. Because everybody loved it. Everybody loved what Matthew McConaughey had to say. It wasn't like he didn't do anything. He didn't really say anything really, really like, you know, wow. You know, he didn't do anything. He kind of said some things, middle of the road kind of stuff. And it didn't really piss anybody off. That had, you know, I mean, I was sitting there saying, well, you know what? He kind of sounds like a Republican. But then it was like, you know, more and more you look at it and you're like, well, he didn't really get into any details because he doesn't really care about the details. He's just like anybody else. You know, he was asked, actually, he was interviewed afterwards. He was interviewed by Bret Baier on Fox News. And he asked him because Bret Baier told him, Bret Baier told him that he said, you know, I've covered the White House and everybody that I talked to covered the White House. They said that was the best speech ever given from that room in a long, long time. And so in that being said, are you going to, you know, are you running for office? Do you have political ambitions? And he says he's not running for office. What does that mean? I don't know. But he kind of said it like he didn't. I don't know if it was kind of weird because he didn't seem like he expected that question. And he was kind of, you know, of course, you got to expect that question. Come on. But I guess he didn't expect it first. That was the best thing is Bret Baier asked it first because that way it kind of set the tone. Like, you know, he had to say that he wasn't running so that he still sounded like he didn't because that way, because as soon as he says, you know, I'm thinking about it. Well, then right then and there, every answer he gives has to be a political answer, you know, and as long as he says that I'm not looking for political office, then you can always assume that he's coming at it from, you know, a sincere point of view. That he actually feels this way. And I mean, I don't care. Anybody that gets up there like he did today, I mean, he's clearly, you know, it's like you said, it's all emotion, which basically all politics is based off emotion. You know, it's trying to get you to sway a different way using your emotions. And that's just not the way we can solve these problems. You know, you got to look at the stats. You got to look at what's there. The emotion part of it is what he said that people agreed on. And I think that people on the right tend to say this more than the people on the left is that we have to fix our society. And I've said this a lot where it's just the way you think. It's the way people think. And you know, we've got this, leave me alone. I'm in my phone. You know, I've got 10,000 Facebook friends, but none of them live within a mile from me, you know, and it's got, you need to know all your neighbors more than you need to know your people on Facebook. And it's one of those things where get out and know your neighbors, get out and know those people more than anything, because that's the people that are going to end up taking care of you when things get tough. And that's what we see in these school shootings is there's a lot of strangers that are stepping up trying to help. And it's one of those things where I think that a lot of people probably saw this coming, in especially in Uvalde, if people kind of just paid attention to what's going on around them and nobody did. So just like in New York, same way. You know, more people would have saw that coming if they would have just paid attention to what people were saying. The one at Sandy Hook, same way. Everybody knew the kid was crazy, you know. And, I mean, that one right there, there's no way to know if that could have been prevented because he actually stole a firearm from his family, from his mother. So, you know, those kind of things you just don't really understand. So, but I don't know. I get emotionally wrapped up in it because I want to protect people's freedoms more than anything. I don't care about my, you know, I mean my personal protection. I need the freedom to protect myself, and I think everybody should have that freedom to protect themselves. And so we'll dive into more of it. But like I said, it's the way we go here. Redneck and Eyes, redneckandeyes.com. Go check us out. YouTube, appreciate y'all.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Your hands to yourself. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. You know, this is one of those things where we're just covering up what's going on in the world today and focus on trucking as best we can. A lot of things happen that we just, you know, get to talking about things, and you never know what's going to happen. So we're just trying to keep people up to date with what's on our mind and what's going on at Redneck and Eyes. So check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We appreciate everybody's support over there. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. You can check those links on our website, redneckandeyes.com, and links to all of our sponsors as well. And one of the ones I wanted to bring up, that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. We appreciate all their support. You can give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at dpfregeneration.com. They're folks, they're based out of Hartford, Connecticut. Those are those folks that are clean your filters. You overnight them to them, they get them clean, they send them right back. And they got the parts, too, if you need new filters or new EGR coolers, stuff like that. Give them a holler, 800-634-3010. Great supporters of Redneck and Eyes. We appreciate all their support. Go check them out. So we were just talking about what's going on in the national news, and what caught at my eye really was Matthew McConaughey made an appearance at the White House press room. And the funny thing was is that nobody else talked. He was the only one that talked. I guess the lady came in and she introduced him. But other than that, they didn't take any questions. They didn't answer any questions. Maybe they did before or after. Maybe, I don't know. But during that time, nobody took any questions. As soon as he was done, everybody walked out. They were gone. And or at least, you know, they took everything away, you know, where it went back to talking to the political, the news commentators, you know, on TV. But I thought it was funny because, you know, Biden came out, what was it, like Thursday or something like that, and talked about extreme measures that he wanted to take and gun control and everything. And a lot of the stuff that he said, Matthew McConaughey did not say. So the only other thing I think that Matthew McConaughey said that might be the same, I mean, he never said universal background checks. He never said the words universal background checks, to my knowledge. He said background checks. Now, there was an interview in passing. They were just highlighting things that were like reporting on the move to pass the laws because there are some bills that have been introduced. So there has been some laws, you know, some bills that are introduced. And of course, they're talking to all the senators and Congress people and all that about that. And John Cornyn, which is a senator from Texas, he actually said that all of the stuff that the kid from Uvalde did as a kid, anything that he did or had reported doing as a child, did not appear on the background check. Because according to what they're saying is that anything a kid does, you know, anything a person does before they turn 18 is all the juvenile record. The juvenile record is not part of the background check. I didn't know that was true. I thought it was everything. So if that's the case, then how is that happening? I mean, that's just silly to not have that. You know, I don't know. I just, to me, it don't make any sense that's, if that's the debate, then let's go ahead and do that. Okay, go ahead, throw everything in there. That means, okay, all juvenile records are, you know, established as, you know, we have this stupid rule where kids, if the kid commits a crime and gets sent off to jail, as soon as they turn 18, they turn them loose. You know, it's kind of like, oh, they can't be held responsible as an adult for what they did as a kid or something, which is stupid anyway, too. Okay? I mean, we got to stop doing that. I mean, that might have, you know, I think a lot of kids think that, you know, as soon as I turn 18, they're going to let me loose anyway. You know, and I don't have a home. I'm staying with, you know, different relatives and friends, and my parents don't care about me. So, you know, I can go in there and stay in jail, and, of course, I'll get hardened, and they'll teach me things, and I'll learn how to be a better criminal. I don't know. It's just, to me, that just don't make any sense that what the senator said doesn't make any sense to me, that, you know, everything that kid did before he turned 18 was not on the background check. I just, of course, now, here's what I will say. I will say this. The kid didn't get into much trouble. Now, he might have gotten in trouble at school. He might have gotten picked up, like pulled over by the police or questioned by the police, but he was never convicted. To my knowledge, he was never convicted of a crime, which, okay, so if he was never convicted, then it's like it never happened. And that's the other thing that probably needs to be entered into background checks. is if you do, I mean, you know, if speeding tickets pop up on background checks, then you being a suspect in a robbery should be in a background check. That could be something that needs to be asked. You know, if you're always a suspect in a robbery, maybe there's something there, right? But to me, that just don't make any sense. That as a kid, if getting in trouble at school, well, that's another thing. If you get in trouble at school, and that doesn't get, you know, that's not being committed as a crime. It's kind of like being in the military. If you were in the military, and you, let's say that you got into a fight on base, and you got in trouble in the military, okay? In the military, you were arrested by the security police, the military police, whatever, and you were adjudicated by the military court in the court there, and maybe they just either you didn't get kicked out, which you probably would be kicked out if you got into a fight, or you didn't and you got punished. When and if you did get out of the military, that never happened. The civilian records will not show that unless it's actually reported by the military police to the civilian courts. A lot of times that doesn't go down. It doesn't. You know, I think felonies get reported. But other than that, you know, if you get into a little scuffle and get in trouble, they don't know that, you know. Of course, there are a lot of rules that you can break in the book. What is it called? Uniform Code of Military Justice. You know, there's a lot of rules in there that you could break that you can get in trouble for, but they're not civilian laws, you know. I mean, adultery, you can get in serious trouble for committing adultery in the military, you know, so that kind of thing, you know. But that's not civilian law. There's no laws against that in civilian, you know, all that stuff. So I mean, there's a lot of differences in that. And maybe, you know, I think we did have that where wasn't that the church guy there in Texas where he was in the Air Force and he did get in trouble in the Air Force like really bad, and it was a felony, and it was supposed to be reported to the database to show that he did get in trouble in the military, where he eventually got kicked out or whatever, and it did serve time in the military, but it never got entered because the military courts or the military system does not, the civilian system, as well as it should. And I think they had to pass some legislation to make that, fix that, because they found out that the military wasn't communicating well with the civilian, you know, record keeping. So that was, yeah. I mean, that happens right there. I mean, I think that's our biggest problem is the interagency. You know, we always said one of the biggest problems with 9/11 was the interagency not cooperating with each other. You know, when you got different police departments not communicating, when you got the FBI not wanting to communicate with the New York City Police Department, you know, you got the CIA not wanting to communicate with the FBI and all that stuff like that. And they had to pass laws or some kind of, you know, they created more bureaucrats to deal with that problem. And really, it's just people, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't understand. You know, I did the same thing when I was working for the bigger companies. We had issues that we needed to help take care of. Like you have an issue, if you work for a certain terminal in the big company and there's an issue. And so I contacted someone from another terminal to help me with this issue. And my boss from the terminal that I was working for, he got upset. He said, don't involve the other terminals. And I'm like, yeah, but it was easier for them to help take care of it than anybody else. You know, it'd be easier for them to take care of it than it would be for you to take care of it. And he was like, no, you make sure, because what he didn't want is he didn't want my counterpart at the other terminal telling his boss and then his boss calling my boss and my boss didn't know nothing about it. And so that's what he was mad about. And it was kind of like, well, why would he tell his boss? You know, the only reason he needed to tell his boss is because he was in his office shooting the breeze just like me and you are right now. So, you know, it's kind of one of them things where, you know, we spent less time shooting the breeze and trying to dig up dirt on people and more time just focusing on the job, then we get a whole lot more things done. So that was what we see a lot of people, they're trying to find more dirt on people. You know, and I still say this to this day, a lot of these carriers out there, that they spend so much time and money trying to hire drivers, and they spend so much time and money trying to fire drivers. It's crazy. But yeah, so what it boils down to is, in what Matthew McConaughey was talking about, was that it's all coming down to, you know, communication. And I think that he was trying to say responsibility. And I think that responsibility, that's a big word. That's a really big word when we're talking about everything that I was just talking about, whether it be interagency, cooperation, training, procedures, you know, whatever you got. Okay, what we found out was that there were multiple law enforcement agencies on scene in Uvalde, and none of them acted, you know, and they all looked at who was in charge. And the person that was in charge shouldn't have been in charge. And it was one of those things where everybody was – it's coming out now that there are people that they were actually either disagreeing on what to do, or they were agreeing on not to do anything. It was really crazy. So, you know, stuff like that's got to change to where you need to have, you know, there needs to be an understanding of who's in charge. And when you say who's in charge, that person needs to step up. And I think that people being in charge these days, it's not only, I mean, people want to be in charge just so they can say they're in charge, but when it comes to being a leader, they're not leaders. There's nobody being leaders. I mean, we see that all. We laugh about it actually at the truck shows, because so many people are telling other people what to do, but there's nobody actually in charge, and they claim I'm in charge. Okay, so when the guy that actually in charge gets there, oh, I never said that. Well, you were just telling people over here what to do, and you never did anything. And all that. And nobody ever wants to step up and say, listen, the bottom line is this is what's got to happen. And nobody will do that, you know. So we have to understand that there's a difference between being in charge and being a leader. And that's where we see going wrong with our society today, in our bureaucracies, or our, you know, any kind of law enforcement, or any kind of organizations. Like, just like school systems and police departments and your city structures, or your state agencies and all that. There are a lot of people that are in charge. They are in charge of the department. But are they really leaders? Are they really capable of leading when it really hits the fan and you've got to step up? Are they capable? I don't think they are, because, you know, a lot of them, I mean, even we see politicians all day, even politicians that I like, you know, I don't have a problem with Ted Cruz, but him getting on a freaking plane and going to Mexico or wherever the hell he went during the whole cold freeze and everything, that was stupid. That was just plain ass stupid. Okay. One thing I will say about Matthew McConaughey, and, you know, I could care less about what he proposes or whatever. But one thing I will say is, he said he was in Uvalde, Texas. Okay. He was, or he says he was, and his family was, his kids were, everybody he knows went to Uvalde. His family that lived in California, or in Austin or something. I think they lived in California, but then they also own a home in Austin, because he actually is an instructor, a professor in the University of Austin, in the University of Texas at Austin. So, however, wherever he was, he ended up in Uvalde, is what he says he did. And you know what? There's not any photos or anything of him being there. And that's pretty cool. You got to say, come on. When somebody in Hollywood or any famous people, I mean, basically, if I go to the truck show in Houston on June 25th, I'm going to take some pictures of me being there. And I'm going to make sure that I see people that I know, and I'm going to take pictures with them and say, see here, I'm with these people. I mean, that's the whole goal, right? And a lot of these politicians, or these, you know, just like politicians, when all the politicians went down there, the first thing they did, they held a press conference. And all the politicians and all the celebrities, you know, they stand up there and they want to tweet photos or videos or whatever. You know, there ain't nothing from Matthew McConaughey. He was there, and he says he was talking to people, but there's no video or recordings of him doing that, you know, or anything that's like, you know, viral. So that's pretty good. But that's what we're going to see, is we see people in charge, people that are classified in charge. They're the ones that are out there doing all the, the photo ops and tragedies. You know, I'm in this well-to-do job, and I'm going to go talk to these people that don't have nothing, and I'm going to stand there and I'm going to tell them that I understand where they're coming from. And that's the worst thing you can do as a leader. Leaders can't do that. You know, they got on George W. Bush because he didn't go down to Katrina or go down to New Orleans after Katrina. That's the worst thing you can do. Worst thing you can do is go, you know, like when Biden went to New York or Biden went to Uvalde, worst thing you can do. Worst thing you can do. Remember when Trump went to Puerto Rico? That was silly, wasn't it? He was throwing paper towels and toilet paper out to people. You know, I mean, come on. That was just stupid. It was silly. And that kind of stuff, you know, gets people pissed off, especially on the other side. All you can do as a leader, unless it's your job, you know, let's say that you run like, you know, FEMA, you know, or you're just like the governor, you know, he's actually the chief, you know, the commander in chief of the Texas Department of Public Safety or whatever, right? Okay. Get all your soldiers down there, but you don't need to be down there, you know, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, but I don't know. I'm really scared, actually, to tell you the truth. I'm really scared. What Matthew McConaughey said today really didn't really change any mind. It didn't change my mind at all. I had more questions than I had answers, but man, every Democrat and Republican, it was like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. They had all decided to join hands and say, yes, what Matthew McConaughey said was great. Let's do what he said. All of them said that. Not one person actually, you know, said, wait a minute. You know, and maybe we haven't heard him yet. You know, I'm waiting on, I think Ben Shapiro probably won't say anything about it till tomorrow because he does his show right around like mid-morning. So we'll see what happens on that. We'll catch him out. He was actually on holiday yesterday, so we'll see. We'll see what he has to say about it. I'm looking forward to all those. I catch all those shows on podcast, and so I'll see what all they have to say, and maybe we'll talk more about it in the coming days. But there's going to be probably a lot of political, Dan Crenshaw out of Houston. He's the Navy SEAL, right? That's now a congressman. He might have some things to say about it because he's one of those guys. He's pretty smart. I think he graduated from Harvard with a degree in economics or something like that. But he's pretty smart. He was a commander, which is what, like an 05 as a Navy SEAL. So he was an officer in the Navy. And whenever it's funny to me, whenever they talk to him about deals, he wants to get into the details, but these newscasters, they don't want to talk about details. They just want to talk about little things, little nitbits in between the commercials. When you actually want to sit down and actually refer to policy and all that. But he tries to do it as quick as he can. There's a good CNN video, and it's like 30 minutes long, of them interviewing him. And everything that they propose to him, he goes right back on it. And he kind of like, it's the details. It has nothing to do with the policy. It's the details behind the policy. That's what I have a problem with. And so we have to look at that. And that's very hard to decipher, you know, especially when you got lawyers that love to write words. And the more words they write, the more confusing it gets. So you gotta watch out for that stuff. And I totally agree with what he's saying. You know, like I'm all for universal background checks, but what are you talking about? What are you thinking about? You know, because if you're going to make it illegal for me to lend a firearm to my neighbor for the night, or are you going to make it illegal for me to, you know, give my brother and uncle a firearm as a gift without him having to go do a government background check? You know, it's different things like that, you know, or like just stuff. Because what we know is any kind of legitimate purchase that a law-abiding firearm owner does is that they actually go through FFL. Whether they, you know, very rarely do I see it where people will sell a firearm. I mean, it doesn't happen. I think they said it was like in all the transactions in the United States, it's like less than 10% are like, you know, private sale because they all go through FFL. I mean, you know, if I wanted, you know, and one of those things they say online thing, there's no online loophole. There's no gun show loophole. There's nothing. Gun shows now, legitimate gun shows now, they don't allow you to sell Like if you're a private seller and you want to go to a gun show and sell your firearm to somebody, they're gonna have an FFL do a background check at the show. Like they're gonna say, okay, you can sell that here, but you're still gonna do a background check. Anybody that walks out of here with a firearm that they didn't bring in is gonna go do a background check. That's what they say. A lot of these shows do that now. You know, and a lot of the shows, it's all dealers anyway. They're all dealers. You know, it's very rarely that you get somebody in there selling, like, you know, multiple firearms that they're not a dealer. So that those rules, the universal thing, like I said, I think that's coming. That's what I think. I think the universal background check is coming. It's going to be scary because we're not really going to understand, because most of the people that are going to write the law, they don't know the law. They don't know the deal, you know. So, but I think it's coming because that's what seems – Matthew McConaughey seems to agree with it, and everybody agrees with Matthew McConaughey. So I got to get ready for work, man. I tell you what, we're gonna have a good one, though, these next couple of days here. Don't forget the Women of Redneck and Eyes is tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. And we're also on YouTube live. We got a YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe to that. I wasn't able to get on Facebook today. I started it late, but, you know, I'm like, you know what? We'll just be on YouTube. You need to go to YouTube anyway. That's what you need to do. Get on YouTube. Everybody needs to get on YouTube. That's the best way to watch videos anyway. When you're watching videos on Facebook, it seems that they throw stuff at you you don't really want. YouTube, they might throw stuff, but, you know, they got a better algorithm that it's stuff you like. So that kind of deal. But yeah, let's see. Now we still got a little bit. I was going to talk about our sponsors. Like I said, one of the other great sponsors that we deal with that has been new to us here for the last couple of years, and that's Load to Ride Transportation, LTR Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. That's a great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. And all the drivers I talk to over there, they say they're drop-dead busy. So if you're looking for getting something to do, I mean, they do the hazmat, they do special handling, they do, you know, the LTR, Load to Ride Transportation, they got the warehousing capabilities, they got expedited, they do a lot of the, you know, temperature protection, they do reefers, they do hazmat, all that stuff. And so they got plenty of freight because they're busy. They're always busy. So go check them out. Like I said, ltrtransportation.com, or you can give them a call at 720-277-0030. And just tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I, because we really do appreciate them. Ain't too many other things going on out there in the world. I looked at the trucking news, and it's same old, same old. Usually during the week, it doesn't change. I mean, you think it would. But there's a couple of things that changed here in the last couple of hours. A lot of times it's individual, like accidents, or somebody got arrested. And I don't know, it's just all individual stuff. I want to focus on, like, a lot of the mainstream, like, bigger stuff. Or you know, I mean, it's really cool when you see maybe a really important, like a prominent figure in the trucking industry that gets into the news. That'd be great, you know, but that doesn't happen too much. But like I said, just keep us posted here on everything we got going on, and we're going to try to keep everybody out there going about what we got going on. Like I said, I'll be in Houston, Texas on June 25th, June 26th. That's on a Saturday and a Sunday. It's the last Saturday, last Sunday of June, I think. And it's going to be in Houston, Texas at the Reliant Stadium. It's the Texas Truck Show. And I'm going to be there on Saturday afternoon and then all the rest of the weekend. I've already got everything set up to go there and stay there. I might ride my bike. I don't know yet. All depends on how the weather is and how I feel. But that might be pretty fun. And there'll be a lot of other people there. I know CDLLife.com is one of the big sponsors of it. And like I said, it's a Reliant Stadium. It's pretty much going to be the whole football field full of events and like equipment and booths and all that stuff. So pretty exciting. I've never been. I'd like to go, and I'll be there, and we'll be taking some video and sharing it online and trying to talk to as many people as we can down there. So looking forward to doing all that. And we'll keep y'all posted on that. We got other truck shows we're going to try to get through throughout the summer and then going into the fall. And then, of course, we're looking at doing our own show not next year, but the year after. So 2024, we're looking at doing our own Redneck and I truck show. So, and that'll be up in Ohio. And we'll get more details as that comes around. We already start to spend money on that. And it hurts. It hurts when you spend money on stuff that you can't really use yet. So we're going to wind it on down here. Let me see. I was going to get to, where am I at? It's like it moved. It did move on me. There it is. That's the one I wanted. There you go. Cool deal. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening along tonight. And everybody on YouTube Live, thanks for tagging along and checking us out. Share the video. Tell everybody what we're all about. Like I said, the call-in radio show. You can call in at 515-602-9731. You can call in, and we'll talk about what you got going on, where you at, all that kind of good stuff. But we're every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Tomorrow, it'll be Tiffany and the women over at Neck and Eyes talking at this time at the same number, 515-602-9731. And then I'll be back on Thursday and Friday, and then that'll be the week. And that's what we'll be doing from here this day forward. Continue to check out our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And go ahead and check out our website and all our sponsors, DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com, Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com, and, of course, Trucker Tools at truckertools.com. Links to all of those sponsors are on our website at redneckandeyes.com. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. And, like I said, stay tuned. We're going to keep on talking about everything and life on the road, all things trucking and then some. This is Redneck and I's Radio Live, weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Check things out. Until next time, y'all stay safe, stay successful, and keep between the ditches. And we'll see y'all out there on the road. My horses. We got too many gangsters doing dirty deeds. Too much corruption and crime in the streets. It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground. I'm all to the maker and he'll settle them down. You can bet he'll set them down. Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.